All right, what's good, world? It's your boy Pete Walsh, aka Lamborghini Petey, back in the booth. Took a little hiatus last week. We had our guest cancel on us late, which was unfortunate, but man, it's all good. This shit happens. I was looking forward to this more than anything. Back after another hiatus is our boy Spencer Dinwiddie. Spencer, how are you, sir?
I'm good, man. Happy to be back.
I can't lie. I thought at this point you would be way too big time to come pull up on us again, but
nah.
I'm glad that I had to come see you at the locker room just to make sure that we were still cool and everything was all right. But welcome back, man. Glad to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here, man.
So how's everything going, man? I mean, probably you haven't been back up here since the summertime, and
yeah,
things, your life has changed considerably since then. So what's going on? You just bring us up to speed a little bit.
I mean, shoot, going through season, man, and obviously playing because of the unfortunate injuries that two of my brothers had, you know, D'Lo and Jalen. But for me personally, you know, it's been a pretty solid season individually. And then also, you know, us collectively have gotten a couple more wins than we did last year. So, you know, we're trending up and everything's kind of going good right now.
Yeah. So let's get rid of all the PR speak. after talking about the bag all summer,
yeah,
you went out and showcased that the bag is an actual thing. You weren't up here pontificating.
Yeah, nah, that's not me, man. Whatever you see is what you get. I'm a chill guy, you know. When I talk about the bag and it being expansive and versatile and all these things, like that's the truth, man.
But before we dive deeper into Nets world, I want to just, you know, last time was Kobe's jersey retirement.
Yeah.
You're an LA guy. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure that was just dope seeing all the Kobe stuff going across the timeline. So real quick, why don't you just tell us, you know, what you thought of, I mean, I don't know if you got to see the jersey retirement ceremony, but just like what Kobe has meant to you and your life and your career.
Oh, I was tuned in, actually. You know, I watched the Lakers game, Lakers-Warriors game last night, specifically for that. You know, Kobe drafted in 96, you know, and I was born in 93, so I essentially grew up with his career. Mm-hmm. You know, I started playing basketball basically when he was drafted, you know, and then all of my early life, grew up a Lakers fan because I'm from L.A., you know, and so there is no greater basketball player in terms of, like, just fandom. You know what I mean? And then Kobe Bryant. So that was being able to play against him my second year and watching the jersey retirement every moment and catching the tail end of the 60-point game. All of those are big moments, and he's one of my idols.
Have you ever gotten the chance to meet him away from, like, not just in game?
Nah, I haven't, damn, sadly. You know, damn, what I'm saying? I would love to be able to sit down and talk to the man.
I mean, so a lot was made about, like, what's better, 8 or 20, who had the better, I guess, career? Because, I mean, he played 10 years in both.
Yeah.
I mean, which stands out to you more? Like, were you a number 8 Kobe guy or were you a number 24 Kobe guy?
For sure. Me, easily number 8.
Yeah.
Like, just because, and once again, that's because, remember, like, that was my childhood. 8 was my childhood. You know, 24, obviously, when you take out the injury-riddled years, I guess was probably a better basketball player. He also won the 2 titles exclusively. Well, not exclusively, he had help, but pretty much exclusively himself, you know. And so I can see why he chose 24. He talked about the challenges of being older and fighting through and all of those things. But for me, my childhood was number 8, and then that's the Kobe I remember, 81, number 8, you know. The killer, like the true, you know, young savage.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching just obviously highlights yesterday, but like even when they were playing at UNLV, and he dunked, I think it was on Oliver Miller in the summer league when he crossed the dude up at the top of the key, and then
that was on Ben Wallace. That was preseason, wasn't it?
Was it Ben Wallace?
That was Ben Wallace.
We could be talking about two different things.
Standing to take the charge?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I was like, Jesus, man, from day one, this dude was just ruthless.
Yeah.
So I actually got to talk to him last week. We did like a 20-minute phoner.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, every time we started talking, in my head, I was like, Jesus Christ, like, this is Kobe Bryant. Yeah, this dope. Is wild.
That's dope.
So, and it was, like, classic Kobe, like, classic, like, retired Kobe, where he's just, you know, dropping gems on me. And, yeah. and you know, so it was cool to, I mean, for me, that was a career highlight for sure. Because same thing, like, grew up, Kobe was my guy. I had the number 8 jersey back in the day. Had the wear your feet Adidas back in the day, all that. So, you know, it was really, it was definitely an honor to talk to him. I bumped into Michelle at the Nets game last week.
Okay.
And she was telling me how she used to work for him. And we were just, you know, joking about what a nut he is, basically.
That's funny.
Yeah, but no, man, it was cool. And, I mean, it's just crazy to see, like, where the Lakers are now. But do you think he's going to get 2 statues, too?
I have no idea, man. I have no idea. I mean, they could pick a pose that he did, that they did both in 8 and 24, and have 8 on the front, 24 on the back. Or they could do a lot of different things. I mean, I think it's just dope that they gave both numbers, you know, their place in the Raptors.
Yeah, I mean, LeBron should just start changing his number every year now. So they got to do it everywhere. Yeah. But no, he's probably going to get 2 numbers retired.
I mean, he'll probably get 6 in Miami and get 23 in Cleveland.
For sure. I mean, they retired Michael Jordan's number in Miami. So,
oh, yeah. Oh, then they got to.
Yeah, they got to do LeBron, right?
I mean,
he actually played for them.
I mean, once again, you're talking about arguably the greatest player of all time. So, you know, you're going to have to retire his too.
Yeah. I think, I mean, we were laughing about just what Kobe's statue might look like. And we were saying that it should be, you remember when he did like the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to the fan in the stands?
Oh, yeah.
We get him just doing the 5 and holding it like that as his trophy would be pretty fun. I feel like that would
exemplify.
Encapsulate him pretty well. Yeah. I think that's the word I'm looking for. But anyway, on to you, never mind Kobe. But, you know, as you said before, you're getting obviously a lot more playing time this year. You're playing your ass off this year. So it's been great, like, coming in and, you know, after you have a big game and we're just like, damn, like, Spencer went off last night. This is crazy. Like, even the ad guys are like, yo, Dinwiddie is going off. So just for you, like, what's been, I guess, the biggest, obviously the playing time, but what's been the biggest adjustment for you with getting all these minutes now?
Probably just playing, you know, at a high level every night, you know, never really having a night off. Like, I'm always playing Steph, Kyrie, like Kemba, those type guys. So, you know, it's just never a night off. I would say besides just the opportunity, which you already mentioned, that's been the biggest adjustment, you know. So, I mean, it's fun though, because it's where you want to be, like, as a kid. Like, this is the stuff you dream about, you know what I'm saying? You don't dream about, like, getting here and just, like, being here or just being a backup or this, that, or the third. You dream about being on the big stage. You dream about playing the best players. You dream about, you know, beating the best players. And so, you know, to be in this position, it's a dream come true.
Yeah, and I mean, you've certainly earned it coming back from injury and just never giving up and really, you know, I hate to use this phrase, but trusting the process. I feel like that's just been
shout out Embiid.
Yeah. But, you know, for you and, you know, just in your development with the Nets, I think, you know, when Okafor and Stauskas got traded recently, they were saying just how much they were looking forward to the player development aspect. Yeah. So would you say, obviously, like, you put in the hours and the work, but
sure.
I mean, is this a credit to just what the Nets do and how they develop players the way you're playing now?
Oh, yeah. No, I'd be remiss if I didn't include the Nets organization, the Nets staff on everything that's going on right now. You know, they took a chance on me. They also invested their time and effort into my growth. And so we're all kind of seeing the fruits of everybody's labor. This is not a singular thing. You know, this is not something that only Spencer built. You know, it's been a lot of time and effort from a lot of people, you know, from when I started and also including the Nets on this most recent end of the spectrum. So, you know, I thank them and I owe them a ton.
Yeah. And then I think the first big game you went off was against the Cavs, right? Earlier this season.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that was dope because, I mean, that's obviously a game a lot of people are going to watch because of LeBron and everything. Yeah. And, you know, just going on your timeline afterwards and seeing what people are saying about you and then, you know, calling out the NBA for not tagging you in a post. Yeah. You know, was that cool to see? Was that like a kind of like an I made it moment for you or anything like that?
Oh, nah, not at all. I mean, that was one game. You know, it was a big shot. We got the win, so that was fun. In terms of just having fun with the NBA Twitter account, I just, you know, people brought it to my attention, and then I saw it, and so I just decided to have fun with it. That's really all that was. Yeah, I mean, I don't know anything other than that. It was just kind of like, you know, how anybody else would have felt about the situation. You know, if the NBA had tweeted, you know, Pete Walsh hits big three to win game or something like that, you'd have been like, yo, like, I'm at Pete Walsh, you know what I mean?
Oh, I would have been at their front door the next day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I need my Twitter recognition or else I have no will to live, man. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, what's happening?
So what's who's been like the toughest guy you've had to go up against in extended minutes?
I mean, guarding Steph is always tough just because of the off-ball movement, actually, more than anything. Mm-hmm. You know, I think as a point guard, you're very used to playing like isolations or pick and rolls and how you're going to guard that or where your help is and things like that. But when guys are very active off the ball, constantly cutting, constantly setting back screens and then flying off, you know, two double screens or something like that, you know, you always have to be locked in and conscious of where he is at all times. So I think that's the toughest matchup for that reason.
Mm-hmm. I was actually at the game when you guys went up against the Jazz on like a Friday night. And I think you had a big game that night too. But you know, someone who's impressed me is Donovan Mitchell. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, seeing him go off as a rookie, you know, and he was under the radar a bit compared to, you know, the top five who got drafted this year. So, you know, what's your impression of him? I feel like he's got a little bit like of a young D Wade to him.
Yeah, no, that's what everybody's saying. Mm-hmm. And obviously
that's not original.
Oh, nah. Nah, everybody's saying young D Wade. Obviously he shoots it a little bit better from range. I think he's a very talented kid. And you know, I think another thing is just it's another testament to opportunity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, he obviously is playing very well, and the spot that he's in has allowed him to do that. I mean, there's a lot of young guys around the league that are extremely talented that may not be playing, you know, and credit to him for getting the opportunity, and then credit for him to take advantage of the opportunity as well.
Yeah, I think that game, there was no Gobert, no Joe Johnson, no Ricky Rubio, and then, you know, they were still in it basically because of him.
Exactly.
So I've been really super impressed, super happy for that kid going off. But what else is going on in your life that we can actually talk about on this? Oh, you know what? Our boy Jared Allen.
BJ.
Yeah, he's really impressed me so far this season. Like, you know, I was expecting him to be at least like a year away from really contributing, he's really good.
Yeah, so that's my rook. I call him Richard Pryor. shout out Richard Pryor. But I mean, he's extremely talented. You know, I think that's something that Nets fans in the league in general is going to continue to find out over the coming years. I mean, and obviously he's only 19, so he can play at an extremely high level for probably another 13 years or so. But he can actually shoot threes. You know, he's got a good feel in terms of when to make the extra pass. Obviously, he's extremely athletic and has great feel in terms of shot blocking as well. So as his game and his body continue to mature, I mean, this guy's going to be the limit for him.
Yeah, and he's a podcast alum too. He was up over the summer, and, you know, I could barely get two words out of him, but I'm sure he's more comfortable now. But we were dying. We had the draft suite this over the summer, and one of the questions we asked all the kids was, you know, what's your favorite basketball movie? Literally every single one said Space Jam.
Yeah.
And then Jared Allen was like Air Bud. And
That's a Jared Allen answer for sure. That's 100% Jared.
And we were just cracking up, man. Because number one, I mean, it was like so cliche to just throw out Space Jam.
For sure.
So I totally respected the fact that he went left with it.
Yeah.
And number two, I couldn't tell if he was serious or that was just like his sense of humor.
Ah, man. That's tough because he's a really witty dude.
Yeah.
So like, he could have been joking and like kind of messing with you. But you wouldn't have known in the 30 seconds.
Yeah, I got the impression he was super, super smart kid when we talked over the summer. So, I mean, that, like, every now and then we just still bring that up in here. Just, like, remember when Jared Allen was, like, Air Bud when we asked him about their favorite movie. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm sorry. That just totally threw me for a loop. I got to show you the clip afterwards, man. It's so funny. But what's your favorite city you've been to this year so far outside of Brooklyn?
Ooh. Favorite city. I mean, I can't just pick LA because that's home.
That's home base. Yeah.
That's home. So, favorite city. Dang, that was tough.
Yeah, I got you. That was tough. Because, you know, you always think you're so damn sharp on this shit, but yeah, I had to get you with one.
Yeah, you got me with that one. I would have to say if I chose one, and that we've already been to this year. It can't just be NBA City in general that we've already been to.
Yeah, just this year.
Just this year. Man, when was the last time we got a good road win? We got a good road win in Portland.
So yeah.
I'll go with Portland. They have good donuts. Mm-hmm. And we got a good road win.
I'm going out there next week.
See, there you go.
Where'd you go? Voodoo? That's the spot, right? Yeah. Voodoo Donuts is always, they always got the line out the door.
You know, you gotta get a cheat little snack every now and then.
Yeah, I don't really need to worry about that. I'm not a professional athlete. But, you know, how was Mexico City? You know, you guys were down there for two games. So what was it, like a 4-day trip?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, the love that they showed was outstanding. You know, it was like 23,000 people strong both games. You know, so that was pretty fun to be around. Obviously, we wish we had got both wins, but we got a good quality win against OKC, so that also helped make the trip even better.
So was it tough? I know the elevation there is crazy. It's higher than Denver, right?
7,700 feet.
So was that tough when you guys were playing? Like, did you really?
Man, that was crazy.
Yeah.
Folks were gassed, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, obviously, both teams got to play in it. So, it's not like it's only an excuse for your club or something. But, it's definitely tough to play up there,
But it is kind of an excuse for you guys because you had to play two games there.
We did. So, you know, a little bit more fatigued in the second game. But, you know, we're professional athletes. Can't make excuses.
So, when you guys played OKC, you know, they've been in the news a lot lately. Obviously, because of their star status, but also because they've been struggling a bit.
Yeah.
You know, what was your takeaway from them? Like, does it just seem like they're stagnant in offense, still trying to figure things out, or is there something, you know, more to the eye that you noticed by playing against them?
I mean, when we played them, they didn't have Paul George, though. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously that's going to be a very different look than when they do, because he's obviously been an all-star for several years now. And because I'm not in their locker room, I don't really feel like I'm at liberty to really talk about them, because I don't really, you never really know unless you're in their camp, in their locker room. You know, anything could be going on. Mm-hmm. You know, they could be saying the right things and it just not be materializing on the court. Like, you really never know. So all we do know is they have the talent, and if they pull it together and get it together, they have a shot at being one of the best teams in the league. And obviously if they don't, then they're going to be a quick out in the playoffs.
Yeah. So you Euro step past that one nicely. So obviously you guys had the big trade go down with Ja and Stauskas coming over. I mean, obviously you've been part of trade, so you know the whole business side of things. But you know, how are they fitting into the team? I saw they got some burn in Toronto. Yeah. I was watching that game the other night. So you know, how have they been fitting into the team? You know, Ja's constantly in the headlines for you know, this, that, and the third. So which I don't know, I feel like he's, from the interactions we've had and the times we've seen each other, just, you know, around either at a NBA function or in the locker room, he seems like a pleasant dude. So I feel like it's kind of like a misconstrued or misconceived conception of him. So what would you say?
First, I'm gonna shout out Trev and
of course,
and SK. I mean, those are my guys. We miss them for sure. And then getting on to Ja and Sauce. I know Ja's situation has been up and down and widely publicized, and it's crazy, you know, just constantly in the media, and that's tough, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, that kind of comes with being a number three pick. You know, from what I know and from what I've seen, he's an extremely talented big who can definitely go get a bucket on the block when you give it to him. It's going to be exciting to play with him whenever that time really materializes. I mean, I know he played the one game in Toronto, but now it seems like we're going to go through a more, I guess, lengthy process before he starts playing again. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. That's between, obviously, management, coaching staff, performance staff, and Jahlil himself. So they're going to decide that. And then, but in terms of Nick, I mean, he's going to fit right in. Yeah. You know, a guy who can handle the ball, shoot it, make plays, get up and down, an athlete. I mean, that's pretty much all we got on the wing and at the guard spots right now. So he's going to come in. He's going to do what he does, as you saw in Toronto. And the more comfortable he gets, the better he's going to play.
Yeah, I mean, you guys shoot threes at a ridiculous rate, so I'm sure he'll fit in right there.
Oh yeah, no, it's fun to play play for Brooklyn for sure.
Yeah, I mean, so how's like Coach Atkinson been this series? I mean, you guys have been getting more wins. I think we were talking about earlier that, you know, you're 12-13 wins at this point, and last year you didn't get your 10th win until March. So I'm sure he's not happy because you guys still have a losing record, but he must be like at least pleased with the process that's being made, or progress that's being made.
I mean, I think from top down, the organization is all about culture and progress and the process. Mm-hmm. So I think internally they're happy with the growth, but I know Kenny, although being happy with the growth, he's a perfectionist. He wants to win. He wants to, you know, for us to be great, and he wants to demand that greatness out of us. And so he knows that we can continue to take steps and continue to be better. And we have the talent in the locker room to be a good team. You know, we just don't always put that product on the floor. And so he wants us to get to that point.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about, you know, the big sneak reveal you made a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Congratulations, first and foremost. So, you know, you and I talked about it a little bit over the summer.
Yeah.
You know, you just mentioned that you had this idea and that, you know, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know if you were still going through with the whole thing. Yeah. But, you know, I guess, why did you decide to do it? It's Perception, right? That's the name of the sneaker?
Perception, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, what was the whole process been? I'm sure you were you out in China doing the whole working with
the manufacturing or what? Everybody want the secrets, man. just gonna have to keep watching how everything unfolds. that's kind of the way it goes. With the way we decided to do it, obviously because there was such meaning behind the date, and wanted to do a one of one with a philanthropic purpose. So we partnered with an artist. He painted on the shoe, and you know, we're auctioning it off, and then we're gonna do a proceeds match to the Boys and Girls Club in Mexico that we partnered with. Yeah, so you know, it's really something to do from a philanthropic space, and it's gonna be something that continues to unfold as we go through season. You know, and the way the opportunity for me to play has unfolded has really helped kind of gain traction and interest and things like that in what the concept is in general. But yeah, like you said, I've had this concept for a minute, and it's all just kind of been about putting the pieces together and continue to have fun with the rollout and do something that's kind of unique and I guess kind of liberate minds a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Look at you. Liberate your minds a little bit.
I know, right?
But your family has a background of philanthropy. I believe your grandmother was a philanthropist and an educator. So how did that inspire, I guess, the storytelling behind the shoe as well?
So my grandmother was, she did philanthropy in the church. Obviously, her and her brother had a scholarship program in the church that I attended when I was young. My mom is the educator, and my grandmother was also an artist. So, you know, just tying everything in. I mean, my foundation has a huge focus on childhood literacy, and then obviously education in terms of the scholarship program that we're doing. And then with the artist partnership, it was kind of just tying in just everything. You know what I'm saying? Drawing on everything that's made me who I am, and kind of putting it on the world stage a little bit and seeing how everybody kind of takes it. And it got great reception. And like I said, I mean, we're targeting doing something else for my birthday. So in April, be prepared, be on the lookout for some. And we're just gonna keep kind of having fun with this whole process.
Mm-hmm. So what'd your teammates think when they saw that? Did they have any idea that this was going down? Like, what was the reaction in the locker room?
Nah. So I actually kept it under wraps. Mm-hmm. For a very long time, just because, you know, it was something that was pretty personal to me, and you never kind of want anything to go awry, like, during the planning stage or during the lead up or anything like that. So I actually told most of them like a couple of days before, and so they knew, you know, what I was doing before the world did, per se. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of just continue to unfold and continue to try to like show people what's possible.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's, you know, another part of the dream for basketball players. Exactly. You know, and just for kids in general, you know. Yeah. You want to get the scholarship, play at a big time college, get drafted, you know, get a cover slam maybe.
Exactly.
And
then,
you know, get the sneakers. So a big reason behind this, or part of the reason behind this, was that, you know, the Nikes and the Adidas of the world, yeah, weren't, you know, showing you love in Brooklyn.
Exactly.
But you know, I totally respect that you were just like, screw it, I'll just, you know, I'll do this myself. Yeah. if I need to. And I think, you know, we're seeing that attitude a lot more, you know, not just in the NBA, but, you know, in business.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. So I mean, you're seeing it, guys are becoming or starting venture capitalist firms. Like, the culture of needing, I guess, big business, mm-hmm, is it's shifting. It's not dying, obviously, because there's always benefits to doing things whichever way you decide to do them, you know. And you can never hate on a man doing what they feel is best for them and their family. But the culture of constraint, I think, is changing a little bit, and so that's what we're kind of in, and joining that wave. I mean, I think it's fun.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, I mean, like I said, I don't even really have plans to retail it at this moment. You know what I mean? It's just all about having fun and development and philanthropy and like I said, showing people.
Yeah. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Trevor Booker was pretty heavy in business, or am I wrong? In VC, yeah, in the VC world.
Yeah.
So did you like pick his brain at all about stuff like that?
Yeah, no, I've talked to Trevor a couple of times. I mean, he's somebody that down the road, hopefully, if I'm ever in a position to start a venture capitalist firm or do something like that, that I could either partner with him or pick his brain. And but he's a very smart guy, and he's definitely big in that space.
Yeah, well, just don't forget about the little guys, man. No, but I was you know, not happy to see Trev go, but I think people are starting to realize how good he is. Like,
yeah,
you know, he plays his ass off. That's every possession.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Man. Like, he's one of the hardest players hardest playing players in the league right now.
For sure.
So you want to just talk about some shit going on around the league real quick? You can Euro step around a few more questions.
Yeah, hit me with a couple questions.
So let's see. What's the hardest quote? What's going to stump you with the most? No, I'm playing. I mean, I think everyone's kind of just in awe of LeBron at this point.
Yeah.
In year 15, as someone who actually, you know, got like a stiff arm to the chest from him in a game. I mean, just from a player's perspective, like,
yeah,
you know, you're 24, right?
24.
And he's got 7 years in you right now. His birthday's next week. And just seeing like the shape he's in now, mm-hmm, does that, I mean, I'm sure that's got to inspire you to some degree, right?
For sure. Whenever you are aspiring to be the best, as obviously I and most young NBA players are, you have to want to dethrone, and that was kind of cliche of his nickname, but you want to dethrone the best. So whether that be the Warriors as a team, you know what I mean, or individually, you're looking at the Stephs and the Bronze and the KDs and those guys. So that's, whether it be conditioning, whether it be shooting, whether it be, you know, overall athleticism or whatever, like, that's where you want the sum of who you are to be better than who they are, and so that's what you're striving for.
Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I can't wait till Isaiah gets back just to see, just to see, you know, what
for
that
sure
looks like. I mean, sure, it's gonna be, if he's at like 75% of what he was last year, then I mean,
oh, yeah.
That team's going to be even more ridiculous than it is now.
Yeah, no, they – in terms of individual talent, they've probably got the most talented team in the league. It's just the synergy of the Golden State Warriors is still something extremely special because you have arguably the three best shooters, especially when you're talking about contested range shooters in the league. And they all play a relatively unselfish brand of basketball, and they have Draymond, who is the quintessential energy playmaker, play hard type guy,
mm-hmm.
doing what he does best. You know what I'm saying? And everybody fits around that four. So it's, yeah, in individual talent-wise, person for person, Cleveland is probably more talented. But, like, the sum of Golden State, because there's only five guys on the court at one time, I mean, it's still tough to say that they're gonna lose.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's interesting that, you know, after the Cavs kind of stumbled out of the start a little bit as they were just, you know, getting accustomed to each other more than anything – and now they've just been on a tear, and it's kind of like, oh, well, you know, yeah, this is what LeBron does. It's just funny how, you know, the media and how all that shifts. You know, as soon as you win some games, it's like, oh, yeah, sorry we said all that stuff about you.
Yeah, nah, the narrative is always going to be whatever it needs to be because it's convenient in the time, you know. But the Cavs were, regardless of LeBron, they're way too talented of a group to be a bad basketball team, one, and then two, they also have LeBron. So, like, I mean, you couldn't have really thought, like, they were going to be awful. Like, maybe they're not better than Golden State or number one in the East or whatever, but you couldn't have really thought they were going to be terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but speaking of number one in the East is the Celtics, who...
Are they still?
Yeah. I think they're still a couple games up.
They stole that one from Indiana. That was crazy.
Dude, I mean, that game was nuts. That was wild. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Bogdanović was thinking at the end of the game. Former Net, right?
Oh, man, I ain't going to comment on
that. Nah, we ain't got to hate.
Hey, Vic's been balling, though.
Yeah, he's been playing out of his mind, man. So, and I was with him over the summer for a day. Actually, it was dope. I went to the studio with him when he was recording his album.
Yeah.
And, you know, just bullshitted with him and his team. And he was like, yo, I can't wait to play in Indiana. Like, I feel like I'm going home. Like, this is going to be sick.
Hey.
And I'm thinking, like, oh, yeah, like, you know, you'll have a nice year there. You're going to be the number one guy. But, like, he has far exceeded anyone's expectations.
Yeah. Nah, for sure. I mean... Yeah, I mean he's balling. There's not really. Really there's
I guess that's it.
He's rolling.
Have you've played that yet or nah?
Yeah, nah. They just beat us like 3 days ago.
Oh yeah, at home. That's right. Sorry to bring that up. Yeah,
it's fun.
But nah, Boston is still number one. Okay. And I think Kyrie has kind of, you know, taking the league by storm a little bit.
So we've learned that Kyrie can lead a team.
Yeah, unsurprisingly. So, I mean, after when the Hayward thing happened, I mean, obviously no one thought that they would be this good still.
Yeah.
So I think that's just a testament to, you know, their organizational structure, I guess would be the way to describe it.
I think it also speaks to the emergence of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you know, at the wing spots. I think more so than even their offensive production is the fact that they're, you know, proving to be capable defenders and that their team defense is as sound as it is, you know, because that's what's going to sustain you. You know, Kyrie's going to score points, Al Horford's going to score points, but, like, when you're playing young guys, are they going to have their defense assignments down and be in the right positions, right spots, all that? And then on top of that, they're knocking down shots. So I think they got a special group.
Yeah. For sure. And then out west, you know, the Rockets have won 14 straight. And they haven't lost with Chris Paul on the lineup, which is crazy. I was not sure how that was going to work out. I mean, I guess I'm kind of taking the coward's way out, but saying I'm not sure when I really mean I didn't think it was going to work out at all. Yeah. But, I mean, I feel like, you know, they got like two MVP candidates in the backcourt right now.
Pretty much.
So have you guys played them yet? I'm sorry to keep doing this to be like, have you guys played them yet? But
yes, we played them in Houston. And yes, Chris Paul was playing that game, which means that, yes, because they're undefeated when Chris Paul has been in the lineup, that we did not win that game.
Damn, you got some brains on you, bro.
Yes.
Did he cook you or nah?
Was CP cooking that game? I don't think CP was, like, going crazy that game.
Yeah. You held him in check?
We played a lot of zone that game, actually. I think I was in foul trouble, too. I went through a stretch of games where I was in a lot of foul trouble. But, yeah, I mean, we lost. So, even if I was baking, like, it don't matter. Like, And I don't think I was. I really don't. But, oh, well.
Yeah. So, I mean, you think they're legit enough to hang with the Warriors? Or, I mean, you played both teams now, so.
You're asking me to pick a winner? Or you
No,
me
I'm just think? Asking you just, you oh, know.
I think they can play with them, for sure. I think they can hang with them. I don't know if they'll beat them over a seven-game series. But I think, I mean, right now, obviously, it's easy to say those would be the two people in the West Conference Finals. But still, you got Kawhi coming back for the Spurs, and you can never write the Spurs off. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be very interesting. But right now, obviously, I think they're setting up to have a great finals. Mm-hmm. Well, conference finals.
You got any time off for Christmas? Christmas Eve, you doing anything?
Nah. Besides giving gifts.
Yeah.
That's it, man.
Chilling. Philanthropy runs in the blood, man.
Oh, man.
even during the Christmas season.
It's crazy.
Well, Spencer, always a pleasure, man. I will see you at some point in the near future,
yes,
I hope.
Yes,
we'll definitely be in touch. And, you know, I actually said this after your last podcast, which I doubt you listened to, so I'll just say it again while you're here. But, you know, I just want to thank you for all the help you gave us over the summer. You know, I was really impressed that you showed up every consistently. I know a lot of guys said they would have been down to do it and then bailed. After a couple times. So just want to thank you for your professionalism, and you know, I hope you had a little fun along the way and learned a thing or two. But yeah, man, always a pleasure. Happy to see you're doing well.
Thank you.
You know, we always got your back if you need help with anything. So just holler. But yeah, man, we'll be in touch. Congrats, bro.
Appreciate it.
All right, man. Peace.
All right.